just feel a little bit funny drinking out of my little glass of water and not being able to like hand it around. It feels kind of funny. Anyway, I'm grateful for it. This period of sitting is a hard act to follow. I think you've already had the teaching of the evening. But since it's my job to say something, I'll say something. And I found myself wanting to bring back in a koan. It's a story koan that some of you have heard a number of times, probably, from me. Because it just seems to come back. And be different each time. So I'm going to read it to you. It shows up in different ways for me at different times. I think it's showing up for me right now. In the context of beginning a practice, which is where I feel I am, and beginning a practice in a time that is so distinctly has a before and after, you know, a time of enormous change in our lives, in our world. Which lets us all be beginning again. Not that we aren't always, but it's palpable to me now. And for some reason I've had, for the last few days I've had this little line from Paul Simon running through my head, the one that goes, these are the days of miracles and wonders. This is a long distance call. So I think that's, for some reason, that's what brings Tendai's heart binding up for me. In the fighting of the Gunko era, in Japan, which was 1331-4, the Nitta forces set fire to Kamakura, and sparks from the burning streets carried the fire to fishing villages and mountain hamlets, so that their people were fleeing in all directions before the blaze, crying out with fear. The priests of the Kamakura temples guided and distributed them among the temples and used the produce of the temple lands to feed the folks. At the same time, there were many relatives of the refugees imprisoned in the caves, which were being used as prisons, who were choking in the smoke and on the verge of dying of suffocation, at which their families were in great distress. Then Haku'un And somebody else, Ting Dai, and two other people, Reiko and Tengan, and others, organized the laymen and priests, and they battered down the gates of the caves, setting free the prisoners, whom they then took to the various temples. The officer of the prisons protested that these were criminals of violent character who, if not under restraint, would disperse and do great damage to the ordinary people. Dangerous bad guys. Sound familiar? Tengai of Enkakuji laughed and told him, however many thousands of criminals there might be, they can be held with merely a single rosary, a mala. Don't worry about it. The next day, he had them brought from all the temples to the great hall at Zenkoji, where he held up his rosary in front of them and said, yesterday, we saved you from the raging fire and brought you to safety and gave you food and clothes to relieve your hunger and cold. But as lawbreakers, it's proper that you should be under restraint. Now, with this mala, I bind your hearts and prohibit you from doing any wrong. You will follow the path ordained for you and never resort to violence. They were impressed by this, and not one of them disobeyed the instructions they were given by the priests and lay officers. After the destruction of the Hojo government, many of them became workers on the lands of the various temples. Byron, who was another master at Enkakuji, at the end of a sermon, admonished Hatayama Yoshinori, who was a pupil and an official in charge of prisons. So that's kind of interesting, that the official in charge of prisons is there studying with them, listening to the talks. And he said, does your honor use a long rope to restrain criminals? It will indeed serve to restrain their bodies, but to bind their hearts, 1 inch of cord is more than enough. In the Genko fighting, there were criminals that who knows how many hundreds or thousands in the great hall of Zenkoji, but Tengai of this temple in one instant bound them all with a single rosary. If your honor and the other officers bind the hearts of the wrongdoers, they will respect and obey you, and many will reform and turn to good. If you simply punish them by confining their bodies, certainly the effect will be that no small number will become violently rebellious. Hatayama said, how is the heart of the lawbreaker to be bound? The teacher said, people have in their inner heart evildoers, who knows how many hundreds or thousands, in revolt against the Lord of the heart. If you do not bind them by meditation and ultimately kill them by prajna wisdom, there will never be true peace there. Now, if the officer is asking how he may bind the hearts of others, let him first bind his own heart. Atayama said, how am I going to bind my own heart? The teacher said in a loud voice, Lord Hatayama! Yes, said the officer. Bind the asking. So what? There's a we're not that fond of that word bind, I think. You know, we have expressions like I'm in a bind. And we talk about the boundless vows. And we talk a lot about freedom, yeah, about unbinding ourselves in some way, unconfining. So this talk about binding the heart, it has always been really curious to me and interesting, the feeling of it. We also bind babies, we swaddle them when they're born. And it calms them and it makes them feel safe. Yeah. And sometimes when somebody is out of control, out of anybody's, including their own control, there can be a kind of holding that again provides a sense of being held and safe. And it's calming. But to bind with a rosary, to bind with your, with the mala that you use for your prayer and meditation, that's kind of interesting. To bind your own heart. So I think this came up for me last week when we were talking about precepts a bit. And I brought you the koan about to ask for the precepts is to receive the precepts. When you ask for the precepts, you have received the precepts. And that has a little bit of a similar feel to it, I think. How can that be? How can asking for the precepts be receiving the precepts? And how can you bind your heart? And what is this about thousands of wrongdoers inside? You know, there's something, I think, to us in our culture kind of repulsive about that idea too. It's like, oh, I have wrongdoers inside of me? What? You know, I thought we got escaped that kind of thinking. And yet we all had that experience of like, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Yeah, of being mystified by our own behavior. Who did that? Whose idea was that? So, bind the asking. And I'll read you my note here because I have no idea what I meant. It says, how does that show up as practice and non-practice? I guess what I was wondering was, in myself, you know, what is practice? What do I think I'm doing? And if I'm in some way taking care of my heart, because could you feel in this story the sense of taking care of people in a way that allowed them to rise to the occasion? How do I take care of my heart in a way that allows me to rise to the occasion? What is that? And if my rosary, if my mala, if my robe, if my taking the vows of serving as your Roshi, you're taking the vows of serving in the ways that you serve, if that has magic in it, which I believe it does, how do I allow that magic to transform? That's too big a word. To work in me. How do I offer myself to it, to be worked upon? How is a vow offering myself to be worked upon? And which is kind of a non-practice in a way, isn't it? It's like, if I hold in the center of my life, my desire to be workable, to be malleable, to be available to life, to be worked on in such a way that I'm helpful to whatever's going on. What's the doing and the non-doing of that? How does it spring up in me? Yeah? How do I get bound that way? And what's getting bound? Bind the asking. If that asking is not some cold inquiry, some disembodied thing, but if it's the asking of my whole being, what helps now? These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call, yeah? What's my response of my whole being? How do I offer that? What will bind it? Bind it close. So my sense of that binding for myself is, I'm bound to all of us. I'm bound to this. There's no leaving it. There's no saying, F this, it's hopeless, you know. It's just not, I'm bound, you know. We're bound. And when I use my mala, more often than not, it's just breathing in and breathing out, you know. Bind the asking. And it feels to me like a humble practice. It doesn't feel, I don't think he's asking Lord Hatayama to do something glorious and golden. But more like, let yourself be bound to these folks. Bind the asking. How do I help them? What do I do with them? How do I protect people from me? And if I'm binding my own heart, right? How do I protect the land from my, from me? how do I protect you from me? You know, it's an embarrassing question, but it's real, isn't it? Sometimes we feel dangerous. Sometimes I feel dangerous. Yeah. And on the other hand, there's also that sense of I could feed people. There is work for us here. We can create order. We can find a way that is new to meet this time. It wasn't that they got together, right? All the temples got together and they sort of said, okay, here, we'll take some, you take some. We all need workers, we all can grow food. Let's let something come out of this war and fire. So if I'm to bind to my own heart, and what happened there? Did you notice that moment when the abbots or the teacher, whoever was teaching, said, Lord Hatayama! And he answered, yes! What was that? And that then, with the binding your own heart, reminded me of that other koan that we bring up, fairly often, where, I always forget his name, Jushan or something like that, the monk, woke up in the morning and called to himself, Master, right? And he responded, yes! Are you awake? Yes! Yes! Do not be deceived by others. No, no. So, which also sort of came back to the koan that some of us have been talking about Dongshan being sick. Yeah. Is there one who's not sick? Yes. Is the one who's not sick taking care of you? No, I'm taking care of that one. Can you see the connection to this? I'm taking care of the one who's not sick. What's that like? Then I don't see that there's illness. That's a kind of binding the asking, isn't it? There's not a decision about how things are. Then there's not two people. And yet, when we say bind your own heart, it's almost like there's we've got this conversation going on, haven't we? So I'm really interested in that, and I probably should stop in a minute, but I'm really interested in the way we are not two, and yet, if I'm going to bind my own heart, who's doing the binding, and who's being bound? And what is practice? Who's practicing on whom here? If I'm playing doctor with myself, who's the doctor and who's the patient? You know? And so there's a kind of a, and when is there not to? Yeah? What's that binding? Does the bind the asking have anything to do with not to? The not to of practice. The not to of deepening ourselves, the not to of offering ourselves. So these are not answers, but I got questions. And I would really like to invite you to let your practice be both your offering and your experiment, you know? Because who else are you going to experiment on? You are your only victim. So, and it matters, doesn't it? It matters. Life is full of quandaries. And a quandary is a question, so bind the asking. Hold it close. Actually, I just discovered that I had one more thing to say. And that was another question. A lot of times we talk about not knowing, and that not knowing is, you know, we want to practice not knowing. I think this is a little different than not knowing. This is asking. I don't know if it's different or not. Does it seem different to you?